Scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. And while you're looking that up, I've toggled in this 21st century between the electronic version of the Bible and which is on my iPad, and the paper version. And recently, I've been relying on the electronic version at church in particular, and I've sort of committed to myself. Recently, no, I'm going to go back to the paper version because it just lets me sort of wander around the passage a bit more, but also to take notes and to highlight things. And so this is the first time week that I've bought my paper version for a long time. If I had an audio Bible, I'd need the loud print. But it's interesting that I would be on Bible reading today, the first day that I've bought this, because I've opened it up at this passage, which I must admit is one of my favourites. And I can see that with the exception of the very first word, everything is underlined. And it's underlined in different colours, which means at different times I've come back to this passage and found different things in it. So... if you're tossing it up, go back to your paper version, and B, this is a fabulous passage. So Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10 through only to verse 13. I could almost memorise it, but I won't. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand.
So as you can probably see and guess, we're starting a new series. And I think given the topic, this topic of standing firm, it's important to pray right at the outset. So let me do that. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. And Lord, we just acknowledge that we are living in crazy times. We look around at the world and we see the chaos, we see the turmoil, we see the political unrest, the wars and conflicts that wage across the world, Lord. And your word tells us that we are living in the end times. And Lord, there is a battle taking place. Sometimes we get caught up looking to that which we see, but we know that there is a battle that has been waged in the spiritual realm. That is for the hearts and minds of not only your followers and for their effectiveness as your witnesses and as your people and as your church, but also for the hearts and minds of those that don't know you, Lord Jesus. And so we pray at the outset of this series that as we think about what it means to stand firm, what it means to put on the armour that you have provided, Lord, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us, that you would equip us, Holy Spirit, and enable us to do exactly that, to stand firm against what the evil one is doing, and to continue to be effective in how we live for you, Lord Jesus, and bring glory to your name and how we are about building your kingdom, we pray. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open at Ephesians 6 as we introduce this passage today. Now in life, as I just prayed, there are some battles that are obvious. You can see them pretty clearly. Maybe it is the chaos of what we see in the world around us. Perhaps personally, it might be a health diagnosis or financial pressures that are weighing us down, or conflict in relationships, stress at work, grief, disappointment. But some of the greatest battles that we face are, in fact, invisible, ones that we don't see. Whether it's the battle for our heart or our mind, for our attention, for our faith, for our witness, or even for our families, the battle for truth. Sometimes we can forget that there is this spiritual battle taking place that actually leaves us exhausted, discouraged, distracted, cynical, or even spiritually dry. And I think it's fair to say that in Australia, we probably don't talk as much about spiritual warfare today as perhaps we once did. And maybe that's because in the past, there were some strange or at times extreme teachings that came with regards to this, or maybe it just makes us uncomfortable. But the Bible is clear that there is this battle that is taking place, and God's people need to be aware of it. And given the chaotic times that we are living through, as I said, with the conflict and war and the cost of living and the rise of tribalism and political unrest, understanding this spiritual battle that is taking place for spiritual lives, it becomes a vital part of who we are as God's people and His church. We need to be equipped. And this was reinforced for me recently when we took time as a church to think about not only our purpose but our values as a church. And we had that special service where we got into groups and we shared with each other. And when I later typed up all the feedback that had come from the groups, and as our consultancy group met and discussed and prayed through it, some of the common themes that you could see throughout the different groups were things like a greater focus on prayer and spiritual gifts and equipping and spiritual warfare, talking more about the Holy Spirit and understanding His will. And around that time, a few people actually came directly to me, and one person in particular said to me, "Andy, we need to be talking about the spiritual battle. I need to be equipped for how I live, to be strengthened." And I think that's come through our meetings, not only as a church, but as the consultancy group, as well as we work through what next steps may be for us. And so over the next 7 weeks, one of the steps that we can take to encourage us in that space is to think about this spiritual battle that is taking place. As I said, not just for our lives and for our effectiveness and for who we are as God's people and God's church, but for the lives of those in our community and understanding that spiritual landscape that is outside these doors. And the good news is this, is as we saw in that clip, God has not left His people defenseless. God has given us the tools that we need to understand the spiritual landscape of Cherrybrook and to be equipped in fighting, standing firm for His kingdom. And it's why the Apostle Paul wrote this passage that our series is based on for the church in Ephesus. He wasn't trying to scare them or frighten them in any way. He was wanting to prepare them and equip them and strengthen them for this battle. And let me read just one of the key verses. I mean, as Jeff said, it's all needs to be highlighted. But he says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Now, when Paul wrote this, it's likely that he was under house arrest in Rome. And so every day he would have been in contact with some Roman soldiers that were there to guard and look after him. And he probably would have taken note of their armor and how they dressed and the discipline with which they went about their duties and their readiness for anything. And as he watched them, the Holy Spirit probably gave him this amazing illustration or analogy that we find in his letter in Ephesians 6. About how this is what the Christian life should look like. Not because we need to fight people, but because we are engaged in this spiritual struggle. It's important to note that at no point in this passage does Paul say attack or conquer, take revenge. He says stand firm. And he says that a number of times in this passage, because the goal of the enemy is to move not only believers but people further away from Christ, away from truth, away from holiness, away from peace, away from faith, away from their confidence in God. And the goal of God, on the other hand, is to help his people stand firm. And we see this in Paul's words. And as you can imagine, in the coming weeks, we are going to break down every element of this armor. But for today, I want us to get a sense of what this overarching battle is that we cannot see, that we know is taking place in the spiritual realm. And the first thing that Paul says about this spiritual battle is this, is that our strength comes from the Lord. Verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, I don't know whether you felt that this morning, but when we were in the middle of worship, and then even as Beck was praying and was being completely vulnerable and authentic, could you feel the Lord's strength as we worshipped? Like that is what God is about. Paul begins with this important reminder that the Christian life is never about trying to do things in our own strength. But sometimes we live these exhausted spiritual lives because we are trying to do just that. And it ends up being impossible because we try in our own strength to resist temptation or to overcome the anxiety that we have alone or to fight against the discouragement that's weighing us down. Eventually, we run dry. And Paul doesn't say, be strong in yourself. He says, right from the outset, be strong in the Lord. The source of spiritual strength is not our determination. It is not our self-dependence, our own reliance or strength. It is to be the Lord's. Earlier this week, and I don't know why this always happens at 3 a.m. in the morning, but one of our smoke detectors, even though that they are all wired into our house power, one of the batteries died in one of the smoke detectors, the backup. And what happens when the battery dies, even though it's connected to the electrics of the house, is that it lets us know that the battery's gone flat by sounding out loudly. And so at 3 a.m., it's going off and you know, you wake from a stupor and you're running around the house. And initially I ran to the alarm system because I thought it was the alarm. And then I realized, no, it's the smoke detector. And then I'm racing to the garage to get the ladder and get up the ladder and pull the smoke alarm down. I mean, it's, 3 a.m. Why? It never runs out during the day. Now, if you think about that battery, that 9-volt battery, it is designed to have power. And unless it can be recharged, it's going to go flat at some point. And that is exactly what life is like for us. We only have a finite amount of power within us before we go flat. But thankfully, what Paul reminds us of, because of what Jesus has done for us, we are more like a rechargeable battery because we have that power source that we can stay connected to. And instead of going flat, it will keep us empowered. It will keep us strengthened in life. Now, we know that, but sadly, we sit here today and we also know that we fall into the trap of living, disconnected lives, disconnected from God because we've become too busy or too active in our week, functioning externally in our own strength, and we end up drained. But Jesus never intended that for his followers. And in John 15, he said to us, apart from me, you can do nothing. Stay connected. And so I guess the first question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, well, how do I feel right now? Am I spiritually tired? Am I trying to hold everything together in my own strength? Am I just trying harder or trying to push harder? Am I pretending that everything is okay? Well, let me remind you of what Paul says. God never asked you to battle this alone. His strength is always available. We just need to stay connected to him. And he promises that he will carry our burdens. When it comes to this battle that we cannot see, our strength comes from the Lord. And it's also important to know that we do have a real spiritual enemy. Verse 11 goes on to say, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, Paul explains why spiritual strength is necessary, because he says that at some point everyone will face spiritual opposition. But it's important to notice that within that, nowhere does he say that you need to be obsessed with what Satan is doing. But unfortunately, you know, sometimes people see, I guess, demonic forces behind everything. And that can be unhealthy. But ignoring the spiritual enemy is equally dangerous. And so Scripture makes it clear to us that Satan is real. He is not some symbolic figure of evil. Jesus spoke about him. The apostles warned about him. Scripture details his activity. And here Paul says the enemy has schemes that are at work. That word means strategies, deception, tactics. And what we know, not only from Scripture, but from personal experience, is that the enemy rarely attacks in obvious ways. It's usually by stealth and in ways that catch us off guard, that are subtle. Whether it's a small compromise here or a bitterness that we allow to grow, a distracted heart, neglecting prayer, a slow drift away from God. You know, very few people wake up and decide, you know what, today is the day that I abandon my faith. It usually happens gradually, with time, quietly, and it often occurs because of distraction and deception and that which we don't really see. You know, once a month at the men's shed, we have one of the members hop up and share a little bit about their life and their vocation over morning tea. And the member that happened to share this week was one that I'd had a conversation with a number of times. Really small, unassuming kind of guy with a ponytail, who I knew had been a facial surgeon at Westmead Hospital for 40 years, which is remarkable in itself. But before that, he was sharing with us at morning tea, and he shared how he was before he went into dentistry and then into becoming a facial surgeon, he was a professional diver in New Zealand. And he used to salvage and fish, and he was a lobster diver in his uni days. And he shared with us a few of the stories of dives that he had made to salvage things around wrecks, and some of the significant findings that he'd made in his life, you know, like coins and old pistols that were from the 1800s, cannon parts. He even dived and found a grand piano that had been on one of these ships back in the 1800s. Now, one of the reasons New Zealand actually has so many shipwrecks along its coast is, as you can imagine, because of its terrain. It's a fairly hospitable sort of coastline. It's unforgiving, and from the surface it might look all right, but underwater there are dangerous currents at work. There are jagged reefs that can rip the hull of ships, unseen dangers that can destroy. And when these ships used to sail, they obviously didn't have the benefit of navigation systems or sonar or lighthouses to warn them. They had very little to assist them. And in many respects, Paul is wanting to be like a lighthouse to us. Spiritually, he is warning us about the dangers that we cannot see under the surface. He's not wanting to create fear, rather an awareness of this is how Satan operates. And one of his tools today, especially in the West, is comfort and distraction. If he cannot destroy our faith, then he will settle for keeping us distracted, keeping us busy, focused on other things, comfortable in our faith. He will keep believers too busy to pray or too entertained to reflect or too discouraged to serve, too divided to love, too distracted to listen to God. And slowly, that spiritual passion ebbs away. And so Paul says to us, church, you have a spiritual enemy. He is real. Which means that this battle is real. The real battle is actually spiritual. Paul says, verse 12, our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, it is against the spiritual powers. You know, this is one of the most important verses in this passage. Paul reminds us that people out there are not the ultimate enemy. It's not about what's going on in the world. It's not about political opponents or difficult people that we have to live with or other churches or our neighbors. It's not that we live in a hostile world, that everything is falling around. You know, it is about this spiritual battle and how we respond to it. You know, when we forget about it, we start fighting the wrong battles. And the enemy loves division. He loves unforgiveness and pride and hostility and suspicion. But the gospel calls us to a different way. And it doesn't mean that we can blame every problem on spiritual warfare, as I alluded to earlier. Sometimes people, you know, do need helpful earthly things to assist, whether that's counseling or medical support, rest, repentance, reconciliation, the list goes on. Paul is just reminding us that there is this spiritual dimension that can't be ignored. And ultimately, the battle being waged in that space is one that we must think about. Our strength comes from the Lord. We do have a spiritual enemy, and the battle is spiritual. But God has given us everything we need to stand. Verse 13, put on the full armor of God. And this is the great encouragement of not only our passage, but this series moving forward. That God does not send his people into this battle unprotected. And every piece of armor that we'll look at It comes from God Himself. It is tailored for us. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the Word of God, prayer. It's important we notice, Paul says, this is not your armor, this is my armor that I give to you. It's important. In fact, the imagery comes partly from the book of Isaiah, where God Himself wears righteousness and salvation like armor. And so this armor is ultimately about putting on Jesus. It is about who Jesus is. It is about His truth, the righteousness that we gain in Him, the peace that He gives us, the salvation He affords. And once again, it's not about trying harder. The Christian life is about learning. Daily life in Christ. Paul never says, go out there and win the battle yourself. He says, stand. Stand firm. Why? Because Jesus has already won the victory. He secured it. Our decisive victory comes through the cross and His resurrection, and we do not fight for victory, we fight from a place of victory. And those are the thoughts that I want us to carry into this new series. That yes, every day a spiritual battle is taking place. A battle for our hearts and our minds and for our faith. And yes, sometimes we will fall into the trap of trying to do things in our own strength. But God says to us, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in me. You don't need to pretend this battle doesn't exist. Rather, you can stand firm in what I provide. You know, and I'll finish with this. In ancient times, before soldiers entered battle, they would always carefully prepare their armor. And today, you know, soldiers will check their equipment. When you think about battle, no one casually walks into a battle. There is that preparation. There is that checking of armor and equipment and what you have. And yet so many of us will try to face temptation or discouragement, spiritual attack without preparing. We forget prayer, we forget the scriptures, we forget the defense that we have. And so this series is an invitation to prepare again. Stand firm, to remember that we are not alone. And that God is with us and the victory is won. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would indeed open our eyes and remind us of the spiritual realities around us. That you would help us not to live carelessly or fearfully, but instead to live faithfully. We pray that you would remind us and teach us again to depend on your strength instead of our own. And that you would prepare us through this series to stand firm in truth and in faith and in hope. And that you would remind us that through Jesus Christ, your Son given for us, through His victory, we have victory and that the battle is won. Amen.